Good day. This is Health on the Hill. I'm Jackie Judd. As the fiscal cliff looms, there has been a lot of political posturing, but not so much actual negotiation. Still, it has become clear that if there is a deal before year's end, Medicare will almost certainly be in the mix. Senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News, Mary Agnes Carey, is here as always to analyze what may be on the table for discussion. Welcome back, Mary Agnes.
Thank you.
The first item is raising the age limit. It's something that President Obama signaled last year he might be willing to consider. What are the contours of this? What might be saved?
Well, the thought is that seniors are living longer and they're healthier. So raising the Medicare eligibility age over time from 65 to 67 is a viable alternative and one that lawmakers should look at. But others suggest that it's a little more complicated than it looks.
It always is.
It always is. It's healthcare. The idea that basically while the federal government would save money, those costs would simply be shifted onto employers. People would stay on their employer-based health insurance longer, and also onto seniors. If you don't have health insurance and you have to wait 2 years longer, even if you get a subsidy to purchase health insurance on the exchanges created in the health law, this is going to shift costs from the government onto seniors
and employers. But what would the government save? What are the estimates?
The Congressional Budget Office has estimated about $148 billion in savings over a decade. So that's why this is so attractive. And as we know, the eligibility age for Social Security is being raised gradually from 65 to 67, so there are a lot of folks who think you can do it in Medicare as well.
I know that there are not a lot of details attached to either the Republican or Democratic proposal, but if they do discuss raising the eligibility age, I'm presuming it would not affect people at or near retirement age?
Right.
Is that the thinking?
I think that you're correct. They would not want to, for example, in Paul Ryan's plan to raise the Medicare eligibility mm-hmm. age, it would not affect anybody 55 or higher. The thought is people at or near retirement should not be impacted. You would go for younger beneficiaries. You would stretch it out over a period of time to make it more politically palatable.
Another option potentially on the table is linking premiums to income. To a degree, that's already being done. How might that be ramped up?
Well, as you noted, under current law, if you are a senior and your income is $85,000 as an individual or $170,000 rather as a couple, you pay more for your Medicare Part B coverage. Medicare Part B, as we know, covers physicians and outpatient services, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. So what proponents of this idea are looking at those thresholds, which won't be indexed for inflation through 2019 as part of the healthcare law, and so more seniors will go into that over time. Do you continue to hold those thresholds without an income adjustment so more seniors fall into that category? Do you look to this category and say perhaps those beneficiaries could pay more for their copays and deductibles? But on the other side of this, there's a concern that if you make wealthier beneficiaries pay more for the Medicare Part B, they also tend to be healthier. They might look outside the Medicare system for other coverage and not stay in Medicare, and sort of that could dramatically change the risk pool.
Then
for
you
Medicare.
End up with a sicker population.
That is the concern, exactly.
A less healthy population. Let's move on now to some other options that affect other sectors. The pharmaceutical companies having to do with drug rebates. That's a complicated one. Explain it to us.
I'll do my best. Under the Medicaid program, pharmaceutical manufacturers have paid rebates for drugs dispensed to Medicaid beneficiaries. As part of the creation of the Medicare prescription drug benefit, beneficiaries who are dually eligible, they qualify for Medicare and Medicaid, shifted to Medicare for their prescription drug coverage. So the Medicaid drug rebates for the dual eligibles, which now are about 9 million people, went away. And so some members of Congress, Henry Waxman, a Democrat of California, for example, and the president has advanced this, say that that shift, if you will, of duals into Medicare for drug coverage created a windfall, in their words, for the drug companies, and those rebates should be recaptured, and that would help lower Medicare costs.
And what kind of savings are we talking about there?
It's fairly significant. It is about $122 to $135 billion, according to the Congressional Budget Office.
Over a decade?
Over a decade.
Uh-huh. Also, a possible change is payments to providers. This is separate and apart from the so-called doc fix. And what providers are we talking about? And why do some lawmakers on the Hill view this as less politically risky than some of the other options we've been talking about?
Many Democrats, for example, talk about they don't want beneficiaries to pay any more for their Medicare coverage. So the thought is that you go to the providers, you go to the hospitals, you go to the nursing homes, you go to the home health agencies, and you cite various research and reports, including those from the Medicare Payment Advisory Commission, that suggest that some of these sectors may be overpaid. Now, as we know, in the healthcare law, many of these sectors agreed to some provider cuts. And unless these automatic spending cuts in January are stopped, Medicare providers face another 2% in cuts. So expect pushback from these sectors to say, wait a minute, we've agreed to cuts in the healthcare law, we're facing sequestration. Any more Medicare cuts you make, you Congress make to us, make it more difficult for us to serve Medicare beneficiaries.
And would these be actual cuts or a slowdown in the expected growth rate?
They probably would be a slowdown in the expected growth rate, but it would all depend on what kind of savings Congress needed and how they crafted those reductions.
Okay, complicated stuff. But thank you so much. Thank you very much, Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News.
Thank you.